Here we go.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Best of the Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
AGE, factory-approved warehouse outlet.
On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Chong Lee.
The Blitz is on for a Best of Tuesday. Chong Lee here. Fred and AJ are on their way to San Francisco for Super Bowl 50. The guys will have tons of interviews from San Fran, including, starting tomorrow, LeSean McCoy, Doug Flutie, Richard Sherman, Troy Aikman, Dan Marino, Victor Cruz, Chuck Liddell, Cuba Gooding Jr. These are some of the names that I've been given, and much, much more. I'll be with you guys for the next 3 hours, and we'll be taking a look back at some of the best segments from the past few years. Since we've moved to Gal Media, we have plenty to get to, including me singing. I know you guys like me singing. Our interview with Tom Herman, catching up with our favorite Bob Arum, David Philpott will make an appearance on the show, and much, much more. We're going to kick off this best of with two legendary fighters in MMA, Hoist Gracie and Kimbo Slice. They'll be in Houston Friday, February 19th at Toyota Center for Bellator 149. They came in to talk about their fights and shared some stories from their career.
All right, let's go to a couple guys who you may have heard of if you're fans of MMA. One of them recently fought against Ken Shamrock. We just heard Ken Shamrock's audio. Kimbo Slice is in studio with us. Kimbo, how are you today, sir?
How's it going, guys?
Doing well. And one of the legends of the game, the great Hoist Gracie, joins us in studio as well. Hoist, it's always an honor to have you around, man. Appreciate you guys coming in today. John, can we get Hoist on mic, my man? Or crank him up? Okay. The reason we've got you guys in, February 19th, they just announced Bellator will be coming to Houston, Texas. And the tickets go on sale this Saturday. You can get them at Bellator.com or HoustonToyotaCenter.com. Or you can go down to the Toyota Center box office or Randall's locations, all the usual places to get your Toyota Center event tickets. Let's start with you, Kimbo. We just heard from Ken Shamrock, and we're playing some of his audio where he was – upset at people accusing him of fight fixing. I would say that probably upsets you just as much as it does him, right? Because you're a guy who was in that fight. You earned that win.
I mean, for what it's worth, you're going to have, you know, people who have their own opinion about it, some positive, some negative. And that's just part of the game, you know, I guess.
When you – during that fight, and he talks about how he thought the fight was over, were you ever feeling like, uh-oh, I'm not going to find a way out of this thing?
I mean, when you train hard, you know you're going to be in some tough positions, tough situations. But when you have your mind set to, regardless of anything, tapping out is not an option, then no matter what position you are in, predicament you're in a fight, tapping out is not an option.
Kimbo, by the way, if you haven't noticed, has what he calls a chronic case of the hiccups, which is wildly entertaining to me. Talk about your opponent. How did this come about? How does this fight come to be?
This fight is very personal to me. My opponent, we're from the same neighborhood, same hometown, went to the same school. Actually, even worked together at one point in time. And you know, I guess the fact that he saw the love and the respect that I would get and was getting from the fans and everything, you know, it kind of. And then I just left the street fights to turn pro. So he saw an opportunity to grow out his beard, steal my image, steal my everything, my look, tattoos, the whole nine yards, and to try to be me, you know, sound like me, you know, act like me, and to do the street fights, put everything in a completely wrong way, you know, where, you know, things were illegal and it was just kind of frowned upon from what we've done, what we did. So, you know, and I put work into it. I dedicated myself to transition, turning pro, the respect, the loyalty, the commitment, gaining love and respect from the fans and the people, my family. And for this clown to come in behind that and make a mockery of that type of for what I've done, it just makes this fight really personal to me. You know, so it's just some bad blood here. I train with different intentions. I train with bad intentions. I'm looking forward to really... I'm going to try to hurt this guy, you know, in the worst ways possible. So this is going to be a great fight for real live fight fans. You know what I'm saying?
Now that you've had a chance to actually go to, you've trained with some of the best guys in the world now. Yeah. Do you feel like you've got just a huge advantage over, like, if Kimbo Slice now fought Kimbo Slice when you were a street fighter? I mean, you know so much more now than you did then. Do you feel like that's what this fight is like, where this is a mixed martial artist
Kimbo
fighting
Slice
against a fighter?
Now would smash me.
Right.
Kimbo Slice then.
Yeah.
You know, because I am no longer one-dimensional. I have a lot of tools on my belt. I can handle my own now in this game of mixed martial arts. Excuse me about the hiccups, guys.
Oh, I love the hiccups. Hoyce, I've heard that this fight is also very personal for you with Ken Shamrock. This is a guy that... You guys have the longest fight in UFC history. You guys were in the cage for 36 minutes, beating the hell out of each other, or not, but fighting for 36 minutes. And you guys have fought twice. This will be the third time. Is this a fight that you're excited about?
Oh, yes. The first time I beat him in less than a minute.
Right.
Second one, he came in and just held me down for 30. He didn't come in to fight. He came in to play for the draw. He was happy with the draw. So, but this time we'll put an end to it.
You haven't fought since 2007. I mean, that is a long time to be away from the game. I assume you're still training jiu-jitsu every day, but how much MMA training, how much striking have you done in the last 8 years?
When you say it, you haven't fought, it sounds like I'm sitting at home.
No, I just mean
doing nothing.
You haven't fought professionally, is
I'm
what I mean.
I'm the same weight from the first time that I got in the cage. So, I didn't change it. Didn't gain weight, didn't lose weight. I'm still working out. Like I put it, I'm going to the range. My drawing is fast. I'm on target. My shooting is good. My equipment's work. Everything's functional. I just have not been in battle.
Okay.
But yes, I am in training.
Well, what I meant was, because I know a guy
it
like
sound
you.
Like I'm sitting at home.
That's not what I meant. What I meant was, I know that you're training gi jiu-jitsu every day. But have you done the other aspects? Have you done how much Muay Thai have you done? How much wrestling have you practiced over the last 8 years? Is what I meant.
None. Don't need.
Okay.
It's all BJJ.
That's all you need.
I mean, jiu-jitsu that my father created is not for a point system that most people see out there. It's for you to defend yourself in a street fight situation. It's a self-defense art. It's not. So when I teach towards fighting, towards MMA, how to defend, how to attack. You see, I don't teach to score points.
Why 8 years and why now? Like, why did you wait so long to come back? Was it for this fight in particular? Were you waiting for this fight to happen? Or were you just waiting for the right fight for you to want to come back and fight?
I was waiting for an offer.
Oh, okay.
Nobody made an offer, so I was like, you know what? That's fine. I'll just travel the world and go teach.
Dana and those guys don't have you on speed dial, huh? They're not trying to get you in there. So you were just waiting for an offer? This was the offer that came up?
I thought I was over, they pulled me right back in.
Now,
just like my father.
One of the guys that I trained with his name's George Patino, and he's from Brazil, and he's getting older now, and he gets fight offers in Brazil all the time because people want to see him fight in Brazil. Did you get offers like that to fight regionally in Brazil that it just wasn't for you?
No, I did not get any offers. Zero.
Wow.
Yep, zero.
That is fascinating. So you just travel the country doing jiu-jitsu, then I get all your schools.
Travel the world.
Travel the world.
So over here, Houston, for instance, is a big hometown for me. I got a lot of schools over here. So, yep, Urban Jungle is right down the street. Mm-hmm. So most likely we'll be training at his place when I come over.
Yep. Now, with Ken Shamrock, and you just saw the fight that he had with him, what do you see is different about Ken Shamrock from the times that you fought him? Obviously, it's been a while, but what do you think, that he's grown as a fighter, or do you think he's kind of past his peak with his style of fighting?
Man, I don't know, but he had a very good strategy when he fought Kimbo. He actually surprised me. He got a good game plan, but he just couldn't finish. And Kimbo, man, Kimbo is a beast, man. The guy's a beast. He did not quit. I thought the fight was over. He did not quit. I take my hats off for that, man. Do not quit. Do not give up. Man, got up, one punch. That's all it takes. I don't want to get hit by him, man. One punch from Kimbo, fight was over. It did not go Ken's way.
What weight will you be fighting at against Kim? What
same weight? What's the number
on the scale for you?
178, 180.
178. And what's the agreed upon weight? Because I know you guys fought at 230 or something like that.
I mean, it was a catch weight, but we're heavyweights.
Okay. So what's the expectation for Ken's weight? What do you expect him to have?
There's no weight division.
This is a catch weight fight, whatever the weight.
It doesn't matter how much you weigh.
You are too old school, my man.
It doesn't matter. I don't pick opponents, man. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
It's a fight.
That is old school at its finest. That's going back to the early days where weight classes, time limits, that didn't matter. Are you disappointed you have to have rounds and time limits?
I would prefer without time limit, without rounds, without anything, without gloves.
Right.
Old school.
Oh,
just like Kimbo used to do back in the backyard, man. No rules. Men's agreement.
Kimbo, for you to fight here in Houston, this is a do you feel like that you grew an audience, the audience that you grew from your YouTube days, you know, in cities, the bigger cities like Houston, L.A.? Have you noticed that in those cities people are gravitating to you more? They are in different, like the Midwest or places like that.
I mean, yeah, it is. It's a fan base following. You know, the fans will follow you. You know, on not just from fighting, but from movies and anything you do. And you know, once they love you and they like you and they respect you, they're tuned in. They're tuned in on anything you do.
I think about this, and I see you two guys here. And when I was preparing for this interview today, I was thinking to myself, I couldn't have two more different guys. From ways that they came into this sport. I mean, you came from beating up guys in the street on YouTube. Yeah. You came from you're a very traditional martial artist who, like you said yourself, you don't even train most aspects of MMA. You just believe in your great skill. When you guys sit next to each other, I see that the one common bond is just this love for fighting. Like, when you guys look at each other, do you see, like, how amazing this sport is, that people can come from all over the place and all different backgrounds and come together over this love of organized violence?
Man, it's unbelievable. It's like you said, it's organized violence.
Yeah.
I like that.
But we're martial artists. We train all our lives. We're not just, you see somebody from the street. No, we've been training martial art. So on the end of the day, that for the people that think it's violent, it's a sport.
Soccer
is the biggest sports in the world, and kids break their legs, their arms. You see, they get hurt, so let's ban soccer. Good luck with that in Brazil, man.
Right.
It's like, hey, it's not going to happen. So, but the referee can stop the fight anytime. The judges can stop. I mean, the doctor can stop the fight. The corner men can throw the towel, stop the fight. The fighters can quit anytime they want to. So it's a lot of people involved on controlling
the safety of the fighting game.
Is it more comfortable for you knowing that there's doctors and things like that around? Like, you know, when you're fighting in the street, obviously, if things go ugly, or what would happen in the street if a guy gets knocked out, but then the guy keeps going? You know, like, there's
then the fight
like
will continue.
Happen. You know, I mean, like, I'm saying, if a guy gets knocked out and the guy who knocked him out keeps hitting him,
well, then hopefully he would have some of his friends there who would, you know, be ready to, hey, look, back up and live. If you know what I mean.
It's a men's agreement.
It's a respect thing.
Right.
Respect,
when you look back, that's the way that you came up into this sport. Obviously, it was probably your ticket into the game, and obviously your ticket into being such a high-profile fighter.
It became a ticket, but at first it was just more of another way to earn some extra cash.
But looking back, that's the way that you earned cash. Do you think, wow, what a crazy thing I was doing back then, now that you're a professional martial artist?
No, man, I miss it. You kidding
me? Oh, really?
Yeah.
You think after when you get to be like Hoist and no one's calling you anymore, you're going to go back to the
just
street?
Just go beat up people? Yeah, yeah, right? You know, no, I'm not going to do that.
Get back in there.
Hopefully I can
Curly Larry outside the Piggly Wiggly.
I know, right?
You know?
Be the toughest guy at the barbecue. I mean, hopefully I can retire and, you know, do some movies or some commercial and do like Hoist, become a teacher, you know, and give back, because I have a lot of knowledge.
Now, this dude, he's got gyms all over the world. This guy's pockets I'm not worried about.
I know, right?
You, in the long term, has fighting done enough for you that you're set, you know, to where you're going to be,
I have a very smart wife, a smart team. You know, I hate paying my taxes, but I do. So
they're
I
very
try to
smart,
keep my purses.
They come get it anyway.
I know, right? So I try to keep my account at a certain point. I put my kids through school, you know, try not to have no bills, pay off everything, and make some smart investments over the time.
That's good. All right, guys, I'm excited for this fight. It's going to be the most watched fight of the year. Toyota Center is going to be jam-packed. Get your tickets while they last. It's Bellator 149. Got a double main event, Shamrock versus Gracie, Kimbo versus, what are we calling this guy, Dada? Is that what you want to call him?
Call him Clown.
Kimbo versus the Clown. You can follow at Bellator MMA on all your social platforms. Head to Bellator.com for more info. Tickets, of course, like I said, are on sale this Saturday, and they start at just $30. So let's get out and pack the Toyota Center. Get them at Bellator.com or HoustonToyotaCenter.com or at the Toyota Center box office or Houston area Randalls. Guys, appreciate the time that you guys gave us today. Best of luck in the training camp. We'll see you guys in February. I'm looking forward to these fights, guys.
That's what's up. Thanks for having us.
All right, anytime, boys. Thank you.
All right.
That was Kimbo Slice and Hoist Gracie with us back in January, or actually, no, November. And on our way out, I'm going to give a Bellator 149 a ticket. Bellator 149 comes to Houston Friday, February 19th at Toyota Center with two huge main events. Gracie taking on Shamrock and Kimbo Slice taking on Dada 5000. Win a pair of tickets and see history made, plus you'll be entered to win the VIP experience, which includes a backstage meet and greet with the Bellator girls, the Bellator 149 prize packs, and a ticket upgrade to cage side seats. This won't get better than that. You'll get upgraded to cage side seats. Tickets are now available for purchase at HoustonToyotaCenter.com. To get yours now, we'll go with caller number 6 for Bellator 149 tickets. When we come back, we will be taking you guys back to an interview we did from Super Bowl 46. At this time, this guy was becoming one of the best players in the NFL, and now he's a megastar. We'll hear from him when we come back on The Blitz.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to The Best of The Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com on ESPN 97.5. Here's Jong Lee.
And we're back. This is Jong Lee with you. Fred and AJ are in San Francisco getting ready for the Super Bowl. They'll be coming live from the Bay Area starting at 3 tomorrow. Early start for you guys. An extra hour of The Blitz. And for today, you're stuck with me in The Best of. If you're just joining us, you missed our interview with Kimbo Slice and Hoist Gracie back from November. They'll be in Houston, both of them, Friday, February 19th for Bellator 149. Next, in 2012, J.J. Watt was coming off his first Defensive Player of the Year award, and he was quickly becoming the best athlete in Houston, and his stardom started to grow. We caught up with J.J. as he was blossoming into a star he is today back in Super Bowl 46.
Hey, we're back on The Blitz, and we have J.J. Watt right here with us.
I wish I could marry J.J. Watt. So handsome. I'm 32. I'm probably too old for you. But it's just something to think about, you know?
Got it.
To think about.
Yeah, you know, I think he's getting better offers these days.
I think it's just as legal in Texas to marry a dude as it is a six-year-old girl.
A six-year-old girl.
I guess 6-year-old's probably closer in Texas. J.J. Watt, and we were talking early in the week about who's the biggest star in Houston right now, in the city.
Mm-hmm. We posted on our 11,000 people on our Facebook page. We put up your name, James Harden, Arian Foster. What was the percentage?
It was
a landslide.
89%, I think.
James won?
No. You're the biggest sports star.
You beat the beer now, man.
I appreciate that. That's an honor. I love the city. I love the people. They're unbelievable. The way that they've shown me so much love over just 2 years has been great, and I can't tell them how much I thank them.
There's not a lot of 3-4 defensive ends in the league that are stars, and you have blown up this season especially. I mean, have you noticed the difference between being recognized last season as compared to this season where there's no question you're the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year.
I appreciate it. Yeah, life has gotten a little bit different. I can't grocery shop for myself. I can't go to restaurants. Life is crazy, but it's awesome. This is what I dreamed about. You know, I love the fans. I love the people. And so it's really cool every time I go out, whether it's in New Orleans, whether it's in Los Angeles, New York, anywhere I go, there's fans. And it's so cool.
I was walking down the street. I was walking to the convention center right next to you. People stopping you every 10 seconds, taking pictures with my kids, do this. Yeah. It's crazy.
It's so cool. You'll see people in any team's jersey, any fan, they always want to take pictures. And to me, that's the coolest, and it's such an honor. And I also know that I need to work 100 times harder to make sure I stay at this level and get even better because so many guys, you can see a flash in the pan, and I don't want to be a flash in the pan.
Well, in the season you had, historically one of the best ever by a defensive end, how do you maintain that level, and how do you stay at that, much less improve on it? I know it's just your second season, and you're going to get better, but that's amazing production.
Yeah, I appreciate it. You know, I have extreme drive. When I go home at night and I look in the mirror, nobody has higher goals. Nobody has bigger expectations than I have for myself. I'm my harshest critic, and so every day I'm working hard to make sure that next season's better than last season. And there's so many people out there I don't want to let down, and I want to make next year even better. It's going to be fun.
You guys, the season didn't finish the way you want. It obviously wasn't your fault, but what do you guys need to do to get over that hump? And what's it going to take to make that next step?
You know, we need to finish at the end of the year. We had a chance at the one seed, and obviously we didn't make that happen. And we need to finish out, and we need to finish strong. But we have the core group. We have the guys. We have what we need. We just need to do it. And for me, it's all about expectation. We need to expect the Super Bowl. We need to go out there, and we're happy with the division championship, but we'll never be satisfied. Don't be happy with a first-round playoff win, but don't be satisfied. We need to be expecting to be great.
Did you think one of the things that I thought as the season went on, late in the season especially, when teams started to game plan against you, was that someone else needed to step up and start pressuring the quarterback? There needed to be someone else. And Brian Cushing would normally be that guy. How big of a loss was Brian Cushing to you guys' team?
Yeah, he's a great football player, and he's a guy who flies all over the field. He makes so many great plays. Cush is a guy who you just love having behind you, because you know if you screw up, he'll make you look good. And so we're really excited to have him back next season. Can't wait to get him back on the field. But for me, I'll never put the blame anywhere else. I'll always say it's me, and I'll always say that I need to make more plays, and that's so true. Whether it's a double team, whether it's a chip, I need to find a way to make the play, and that's the way it goes.
Well, you're taking the blame. A lot of fans at the end of the season put the blame squarely on Matt Schaub. He's had a rough offseason, at least from the press, from the fans. Do you believe Matt Schaub can lead you guys to a Super Bowl? And What do you think something has to change mentally for Matt Schaub? What do you think it is?
I believe in Matt, and everyone in our locker room does. And I know that Matt is a guy who can take us there. I think he takes a lot of the blame, and in the media he gets a lot of the blame. But I think we all deserve some blame. On defense, we need to get off the field on third down. We need to give them the ball. We need to give them more opportunities. So while he takes a lot of the blame from the media, I think we all need to take our part.
J.J. Watt, our guest, tell us what you were doing with Gatorade earlier today.
With Gatorade, I've been working with Gatorade since my rookie year, and they've been doing a great job making sure I know how to get hydrated, making sure I know what nutrients to get in my body and when. And obviously moving to Houston from Wisconsin was a big change for me. It's we don't exactly have 110-degree days up in Wisconsin every so often. So Gatorade helped prepare me for what I needed to do in Houston, and they've been doing a great job. And so I'm looking forward to working with them for a long time.
You didn't get to dump Gatorade on anyone, did you?
No, I was just talking about the Gatorade dump, and I think I've never done it, and so I'm going to try and save my first ever Gatorade dump for a Super Bowl someday. So I won't dump any Gatorade until it's in a Super Bowl.
Nice. Well, I tell you what, we appreciate you taking a few minutes with us, and great season, and good luck next year. And hopefully you guys we won't be talking to you next year, because you'll be practicing.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it, and hello back to everyone back in Houston.
All right, there you go. That's J.J. Watt.
That was J.J. Watt with Fred and A.J. from Radio Row at Super Bowl 46. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll switch it up and bring you some laughter on your drive home, or pain, depending on how you liked this segment back from August. We'll be right back.
Heaven's story told me not to cry when you were gone. But the feeling's overwhelming, it's much too strong.
Live from the Gow Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Best of the Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com on ESPN 97.5. Here's Jong Lee.
Welcome back to the Best of the Blitz. The guys are in San Francisco prepping for the following 3 days leading up to Super Bowl 50 from Levi Stadium. I'm trying to get your trip home today, and I'm trying to fill their shoes, and I'm here to take you back to some of the best segments and interviews we've had over the past few years, some old, some new. Now, singing has become somewhat of a semi-regular thing on the show. This was the first time we tried this, And to set this up, I bought tickets to Sam Smith early last year to sell. And I was having a little trouble selling these tickets. I wasn't having the best of luck. I sent out a company email saying that I had these available. And AJ suggested that I try and sing, and maybe I can get a listener or two to buy them.
Why are you? Why aren't you going to the concert tonight?
Those were I actually bought those to kind of sell. The Sam Smith. Mm. Yeah. So if anybody wants tickets, I have two pair. I have a pair.
I just want you to know, like, if you're gonna buy, if you buy something to sell it, you should probably not wait until the day of the concert
I
to try to sell.
Completely put that behind. Everything of the priorities, and I forgot I bought them.
God, that's HBO money, Fred.
I'm telling you.
That's what happens. He buys high dollar tickets, front row tickets to Sam Smith.
Yeah, all the way in the nosebleeds.
Fifth row, it says on this email.
Section
fifth row,
411.
And Jung bought fifth row tickets and will not be there. Those tickets are going to go to waste.
Do you want them?
No.
So I guess you can.
I'm a grown man. You think I listen to Sam Smith?
I don't know. You can take your wife to that thing.
No, man. That's something you would do. That's what you do when you're dating. You take your wife, your girlfriend to Sam Smith.
Sam Smith's not bad.
So I'm getting textures asking how much for the tickets.
70.
Is that what you paid for them?
No.
Okay, so.
But it's not too much. It's not too far off from what I paid for.
All right,
them.
So you're just looking for a little
it's just
taste.
Just a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, it's day of.
Yeah, I got them for like 50, 60 bucks.
Oh, you better be selling them for face value pretty quick.
And so, well, if you want to buy them for 70 bucks.
Tweet me.
Is it sold out?
Either tweet Jung
I
or.
I think so.
Or you know what? You could call and give the intern your information, and Jung will call you on the break.
I already gave two to a listener. He tweeted me right when I tweeted it, tweeted the info. He tweeted me.
Wait a minute. You gave those away, but now you're selling these?
No. I sold them too.
Oh, you sold them.
Yeah,
so you still have two left.
Yes.
Okay.
Did he Did he PayPal you?
Yes, he did.
Okay.
Does it tell you how old I am that I don't know who Sam Smith is?
Sing a little bit of Sam Smith for us, Joe.
I'd rather not. He has a
just
kind of
do
a
it.
High voice.
Do it for the show, Joe.
Do it for the listeners.
All right.
Hold on. Oh, won't you stay with...
Don't stop. Just do it. Finish it off. Finish it off.
Commit
no,
to it.
No, because I just feel like the dials are turning.
No,
away.
People are tuning in to hear this right now.
No, I'm good.
Hearing an Asian guy sing music always gets people to listen.
Singing an Asian guy singing a British guy song?
Yeah. Okay, but I have heard that song now, so I know who you're talking about. I don't feel quite as old.
I like the, can you sing a little bit of I'm Not the Only One?
I can't remember how it goes. You can sing it.
I want you to sing it, though. That's the whole point.
Hold on. Let me look it up and see how it
can you sounds. Pull up this? Will it help you if you sing along with the song?
Yes, it
okay,
will.
Play the song, and we'll hear you, because I like to hear you do karaoke along with the song.
How the hell did it get on this?
Because that's just how the show works,
because you sent me an email asking me to buy your Sam Smith tickets. You're trying to gouge me on your tickets. All right. Turn up your mic, though, so we can hear you, too.
This has to go.
I don't want to hear Sam.
Can't be any worse than Rebecca Black.
I want you to sing through the first chorus.
Oh,
so
no.
Stop.
But I don't know the lyrics, but I know the chorus.
Okay.
All right, fine. Skip ahead.
Because you don't know that you're... I don't forget.
Oh, dude. All right, get to the chorus now.
Nick says, please, baby Jesus, do an entire segment of Jong singing. I could go for that.
I'm down with that for sure.
It's less work for us, really. We just sit here and let him sing.
You say I'm crazy, but you don't know I know what you've done. See, you know it.
Call me crazy.
I know that I'm not the only one.
Okay, now go rewind and do it again loud, though. I want to hear you sing.
No. We're good. Go on with the show.
Jung, this is the show. This is what I wrote down for the show today.
Yeah, I'll show you my notes.
Just do it.
First segment.
Jung sing Sam Smith.
Yeah. The texters are loving it.
See?
Telling
you. Jung, do you care about our ratings at all?
The tweeters are loving it. Edward says, I'd pay $70 to hear Jung sing over Michael Sam or whoever that is.
See?
See? There you go. Was that Michael Sam?
No, it's Sam Smith.
Oh, okay. I get those guys confused, too.
Sam Smith is the name.
So, yeah, Nick asks, is this your go-to in the bedroom, John? Is that your stuff?
No.
Oh, okay. Try Judas Priest's Turbo Lover. That's my recommendation. Of course, it's about man sex, but still pretty cool. All right. Jaber says we should have callers call in to sing for the tickets. Well, Jong's trying to make some money. Okay, Jong makes Cinemax money, but not quite HBO money.
Yeah.
So if he sells the tickets and makes a little $10 profit, maybe he can get HBO next month.
I doubt it.
That would be important.
I doubt it, but maybe he can keep taking Teresa on fancy dates and things like that.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. All right, well, good job, John. I'm gonna say very well done. Ryan says, like an angel's wing brushing across a harp string.
Thank you.
I don't even know where to go from here. I got all kinds of sportsy stuff, but I'm not really into it.
No, I don't care about that.
Yeah, I'm not really into it now. John, I think we need to do another song.
John doesn't want to do it. He doesn't want to sing.
I think you should break down Patriots, Packers.
No, nobody cares about that.
Well, what about the highlight on the TV, Saints and Ravens?
Nobody cares about that. People only – you know why people tuned in today? Because I tweeted out earlier that John is going to be singing Sam Smith songs today.
You bastard.
Yeah. Mm. So let's do one more.
Does he have another hit?
Yeah, he's got a ton of hits. He's very famous.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
You're just old. You don't understand.
I believe that one day I will be where I was.
You gonna do this one?
Right next to you. And it's hard. The days just seem so dark. The moon, the stars are nothing without you. You touch your skin. Where do I begin? No words can explain the way I'm missing you. The emptiness inside. That I'm inside. These tears. They tell their little story. Only not to cry when you were gone.
I think that's enough.
No, finish out the. We're coming to the part I want. Turn your mic up.
Too strong. Can I lay by your side?
Yes.
Next to you.
Oh, that's good.
You and make sure you're all right. I'll take care of you.
There, you do John Legend's part.
Thank you, John. You've just made my day.
Yeah.
You've made my day.
You do AJ, you do.
I don't
part.
Know this song.
You were singing along.
No, I was not. That was you.
Yeah, man.
That's what was amazing. People probably thought it was me because I'm a really good singer, but it wasn't. That was all Jong.
The best part was Jong was in there getting all into it. You should have seen his face. Had the eyes closed, except for when he had to look up to read the lyrics. Yeah. So karaoke needs to start the show on Friday. Texter says, John, you can lay next to me if you sing like that.
See? People like that stuff, John.
Oh, boy, that was pretty hesitant on singing that, but I guess it made for pretty good radio. I know I didn't get all positive reviews, but I really, frankly, don't care. I did end up selling the tickets for face value. I also bought tickets to Ed Sheeran and Taylor Swift to sell. I had trouble selling the Ed Sheeran tickets, but the Taylor Swift tickets, not so much. That was the first of several moments that I broke into song. As you can tell, I wasn't very much into it, or I didn't want to do it. But I think the Taylor Swift and the Ed Sheeran and the other singing parts that came up more, Adele, that we heard a couple of months ago, I think I was a little more into those than anything else. When we come back, we take a listen back to one of the most famous characters in professional wrestling. He joined AJ a few months ago, probably this, I think around this summer. This is Jong Lee, and this is the Best of the Blitz.
Live from the Gau Studios in Houston, Texas, you're listening to the Best of the Blitz. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com on ESPN 97.5. Here's Jong Lee.
That's right, big voice guy. I get top billing today. This is Jong Lee with you with the Best of the Blitz. The guys are in San Francisco getting ready for Super Bowl 50. We're having some fun today, and we're taking you back through memory lane. I'm playing some of the best segments and interviews from the past few years. And right now, I want to take you to an interview AJ Hoffman and Matt Dean did while Fred was in Canada and I was in Japan. This was back in the summer. Matt, longtime listeners may recognize from the front page in early Blitz days. Matt co-hosted the show before jetting to business school at Rice. AJ and Matt bring in a WWE's Virgil. We didn't know what to expect from the interview, and this is kind of what we got.
On our line is a WWE legend. Virgil joins us on the program. Hello, Virgil.
What do you do when you need a helping hand?
You call Virgil.
Yo.
What's
going
on?
I'm here.
We've got you, Virgil. We've got you. You can follow Virgil on Twitter at TheRealVirgil, on Instagram at TheReal_Virgil. Virgil, what are you up to these days, my friend?
I'm up to getting that money, baby.
Really?
What do you think?
What
are you up to?
I'm trying to get that money too, man. Just trying to.
Okay, well, help me get that money. You know what I mean? I like to have that F money. You know what I mean? So, you kick some of that money out of your pocket and shoot it my way.
I may have to do that. I see that you've started a
subtle
a GoFundMe page to try to get some of that money in your pocket. It's GoFundMe.com.
Why not, man? Look, all the things I've been through, man. All the matches I've been through. You know, when I hit 60 or something like that, you mean the body might just break down and fall down and go down the toilet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that could happen. I could see that. And they're trying to help Virgil become the $1 million man. And
what's wrong with that? I want to be the $1 million man. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
I don't see anything wrong.
Is it right or wrong?
It seems right to me. You can go to GoFundMe.
Yeah, man. I run every day. I try to keep the old body moving, baby, and it's still moving. It's still rocking. Rockin' steady, rockin' steady. So I like to have that M-O-N-E-Y. That's what I'm talking about. Money, money, money. That's what makes the world tick, baby.
At GoFundMe.com/MakeVirgilAMillion, you can see
what's wrong with that? They can write it off when they got their taxes.
I see that. I see that. And I see so far you've raised $365 of that $1 million. You're well on your way.
Yeah, I'm on my way, but won't you just match that, okay? And then it'll be 7:40.
7:30, but that was very close. That was very close, and maybe we've got some audience members who are willing to throw some cash down there for you. Now, what are you planning to do with this $1 million once you get it?
I got to still think this out right now, baby. You know what I mean?
Okay. You haven't decided yet?
Hold on for a minute and just... You know what that is?
That's counting
that's
money?
A human count machine.
Okay.
I can just listen to it. I know how much is there.
Is that $365 or is that $1 million?
That's $1 million.
Okay.
Yeah.
Remember back in the day when let's see, who was that that snatched that $10,000 out of my hand? Oh, Regis Philbin. Regis Philbin snatched that $10,000 out of my hand. And guess who I snatched up?
Who'd you snatch up?
Okay, Kathy Lee wasn't on the show right there. Regis' wife was on the show, okay?
Right.
I snatched her ass straight up in the air. Pantyhose are showing, her garters are showing everything. And Regis said, hey, Virgil, I think, is that, we talking about a trade here? I said, what you think? So he handed me his $10,000 over, and I took the $10,000 right in my right ear and went, psh. I said, it's all there. And guess what I did with his wife?
What did you do?
We can guess.
Did you make love to her?
No. I dropped her ass on the floor. Bam!
Damn, Virgil, that seems harsh. Now, I did see in my notes here that you are quite a ladies' man. I've seen that it says here that you've had sex with every month of the Playboy calendar. What year is that? What year of the calendar is that?
I think that was year 1989. Hey, listen here. When you rocking 14 in a cubic, you know what I mean?
No.
Everyone wanted to bark down your alley, you know?
Okay. It now
I'm talking about
1989. Was that the peak? What you would call the peak of your wrestling career?
No, I think we started 1988 because we did a whole year of vignettes. You know what I mean? I mean, working our way up. Hey, when we first broke in, we came into.
Stick with it. You got it.
Detroit, Michigan. It was Palace. I think it was Palace Auburn Hills. No, the Joe Louis Arena, bro.
Okay.
Joe Louis Arena. I had black people calling me names, okay? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, like the N-word, like
black
Hulk Hogan used?
Black people call me the N-name. Black people. Some woman looked at me, and she was a black woman. Guess what she said to me?
What did she say?
She said, Virgil, I hate your ass. I said, what are you talking about? She said, you're a different.
Why?
There's only one type of. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay.
I had a black woman call me that.
Now, did a lot of people think that you were sort of an Uncle Tom because you carried the white man's money, you carried the white man's belt?
No, it's not that. I mean, they figure way just to make you aggravated. You know what I mean?
Okay.
But being the smooth, cool guy that I am, it went to one ear, it rotated around the brain here and there, and I let it slide out the other ear.
You just let it go. You just let it go. How did you feel about finding out, and maybe you knew before, because I'm sure you guys were boys, you and Hulk Hogan. Did you know that Hulk Hogan was a racist all these years?
Oh, man. Hulk is no racist, okay? None whatsoever, okay? He's one of the coolest guys out. No racism at all. Because listen here, man. I had a match with Hulk back in the day, okay?
Okay.
Quite a few matches, okay? And I stiffed him accidentally in the mouth. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Okay. I gave him a good connection where, you know, I ripped it a little bit. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I mean? Like maybe 6 or 7 stitches. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, boy. Okay.
Okay. Now, that is the prime time to be a racist. Am I talking about right? Am I talking right or wrong?
I guess you're talking right.
Okay, you could be a racist. Only thing he said, hey, bro, take it a little easy, man, okay? Far as hell from any racism, you mean?
Do you feel like you're a racist?
Who, am I a racist?
Yeah.
No, I'm not a racist.
Because I've heard you say that all...
I was just shitting my pants when a woman called me all these names, and she's black as I am.
What about...
I mean, she was darker than me.
Did you say that all white women look the same?
To me, no, I said... White women and Korean are like all the same, except the white chicks now are getting the big, they get big round booties now. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Booties. You know, you be out there.
That's right, I'd be out there.
Where you from, man?
I'm from Houston, Texas.
Okay, Houston, Texas. I bet you see the honeys down in Houston are white chicks. Okay, they get the deep tan on them now. Okay, they walk around with the old round booties, ain't they?
That's right, the honey dips.
Okay, you see the honeydew melons, and you be walking back, peeping on it, too. You walk by, and you see your eyes be rolling over, checking it out, don't you?
I do sometimes.
You do majority of the time. Tell the truth.
Okay, that's the truth. Majority of the time, yeah.
Okay, then.
Well, Virgil, I'm glad to hear you're doing well. You're on your way to getting that M-O-N-E-Y.
I want the money.
I know it.
I want the money.
You can go.
Talking about the F money. Got ESPN going to get the money. ESPN going to get the money.
We're trying, man. GoFundMe.com/makeVirgilAMillion. And when Virgil gets $1 million.
How much are you going to kick in?
I don't know what I can kick in, but how about this? When we get you to that million, when we get you to that million, let's go celebrate. Let's have some Olive Garden. And
yeah, man, make sure you get that meat sauce. It is the best.
I love it.
Meat sauce is the best. It's the best, man. It goes right down your throat. Right down, man.
All right, Virgil. Best of luck on your million. And I can't wait to hear you counting that money, my man.
Okay, count that money. You hear? It's running your ear.
All right. That's Virgil.
That was WWE's Virgil coming on the Blitz asking for some money. Want to venture how much Virgil's GoFundMe page has raised so far? I checked this before the show. It's a whole $445. So if you want to you know, fund Virgil to get to that million, you know, you might want to go to his GoFundMe page and donate some money. $445 raised so far. Good luck to you in the future, Virgil. That wraps up hour number one of the Best of the Blitz. Hope you guys are enjoying the show. Coming up next, I'll actually have a special guest in studio to help set up the next segment. This is the Best of the Blitz.